We know we have Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, Larry Murphy on the fan right now. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing good, Don. Thank you.
Well, I mentioned the thrill from West Hill. Of course, one of the all-time great Don Mills Flyers teams. That's right, you were with, right, Larry?
Oh, yeah, I played with Don Mills, and that's talking about Paul Tracy. I can't wait. I mean, maybe this is this year where they're going to actually give him the 500 when he wins it.
Oh, yeah. He feels the same way. If I remember, what was it, 2002, and they said, what, he passed too early, right, on a yellow.
Castroneves under yellow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was suspicious.
Yeah, well.
We all think he won it. I know there's still some question as to who's going to win the Stanley Cup, but I've been reading where Larry Murphy has been quoted as saying, never mind about the East, and I'm paraphrasing you here, but the winner of the Chicago-San Jose Sharks series is going to be the Stanley Cup champion?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, Montreal has proven us all wrong along the way. I just think that with Washington out of the way and Pittsburgh and all the top seeds in the East, that the West, which I felt has been a stronger conference this season, you've got the top two teams still going. So just kind of, I guess I looked at the math of the whole thing and figured that they would be the team that comes out of the West would be the team that wins, and I still feel that way.
Well, you got the 6, 7, and 8 seeds still left in the Eastern Conference. It's strange, and all you do is play for home ice advantage 82 regular season games. And With the Red Wings, with your success, and with the Penguins, did you learn pacing? I mean, is part of what teams like San Jose and then down the road Washington have to learn is pacing in the regular season and preparation for the playoffs?
I don't know if pacing's the word. I think you got to play as well as you can as the season goes along. I don't think you can lift the foot off your gas. Now, yeah, of course, there's the issue. You don't want to play your starting goaltender 82 games, but still, I think the coach has got to manage the team. He's got to manage the team's ice time, players' ice time to a degree, but he's also got to take advantage of off days, and I think that's what was Scotty Bowman's greatest asset was during the season was he looked at the big picture, and he didn't, even when things went sour for a team, he always had that problem during the year, even for the best teams. He was smart enough not to figure, well, this is the time where I've got to start killing these guys in practice to get them back on track. He always real looked at it. He wanted the team at their best for the first day of the playoffs.
You know, there's much being made in Vancouver, and actually in other places too, about Roberto Luongo being a captain. And so I'd like to hear your opinion on a goaltender being a captain of a hockey team and what it might do to the goaltender, what it might say about the rest of the team or to the rest of the team, and how much that actually matters in your mind, Larry.
I didn't like how Roberto Luongo had this be out front and center after every game, even when things weren't going so well for him. I'm the belief that you got to put the goaltender in a position where the least amount of distractions, just let him focus on the game and go out there and play. And I thought it was real difficult. He was a real stand-up guy during the playoffs. I give him full marks of that. And he wants to take the challenge. Of course, he's very competitive. But still, I want to put my number one goaltender in a position where he doesn't have to deal with any sort of distractions, any sort of side issues, besides the fact of getting in there and stopping the puck. I don't see any upside to making Roberto Luongo the captain. He wants to continue on, but still, I just think it's the Canucks' best interest to find a player to step forward and be the captain of the team. But I don't know how that's going to all work out. It was in a tough position, and I think it was definitely had impact on how he played.
Larry Murphy joining Landry and Stellick on the Fan 590. So the Canucks, disappointed fans there. Detroit, the team you helped cover. I mean, it was when they got everyone healthy again. Some people, I remember Scotty Bowman even thought they might run the table during the regular season, a team to watch during the playoffs. And what happened to them that they couldn't get by San Jose, that they went out in very un-Red Wing-like fashion?
Well, Gordon, I think look back at the start of the series. They came off of they pushed themselves to 7 against the Coyotes, and I think losing that Game 6 at home was kind of you could point that was the kind of the beginning of the end for the team in the playoffs. They go to 7, and then on just one day rest, they play the Sharks, who've had 5 days off. They end up I think that was a big factor for winning Game 1, and then they got into Game 2, had the lead, and ended up losing it. And that was another point where it was apparent that they weren't going to they weren't going to go the distance this season. They got themselves in a tough spot there, and then against the Sharks, all of a sudden your margin of error shrunk. And unless you're just absolutely flawless, they weren't going to win the series. So it's a case of where the team is. It just didn't go well this season. That happens. You look throughout throughout the history of the league, there's great teams that don't go all the way. It takes a combination of a couple of things. So for Detroit, they come out of the season, they're disappointed, but to Ken Holland's credit, there's no sense of having to blow this whole thing up and rebuild. He'll just try to, with the cap situation, try to piece together the best team possible, and they'll be there once again next year, the Wings being a serious contender for the Cup.
Larry, I got to believe that today, and as we get closer to the game, that every stomach belonging to a Boston Bruin is churning. I mean, this would just make you sick to your stomach, wouldn't it, if the prospect of giving up a 3-0 lead?
Oh, it's, without a doubt. The label choke artists and the players are all aware of it. It's going to be a tough day. It's going to be they're going to have a tough time, the Bruins, just try to keep themselves calm and not so nervous today and not so geared up at 10 o'clock in the morning. They want to be at their best at 7 o'clock. So it's going to be, they're going to have a tough long day, the Bruins, and to be at their, so that they're at their best when the puck's dropped. And they just look at what they've done well in this series and what they need to win. But yeah, they don't, you don't want that label on you, blowing a series after being 3-0. And the callers are pretty tight right now for those Bruins.
Well, we just had Barry Melrose on because I was trying to figure out road ice advantage, why it's changed so dramatically. The road teams won all three game sevens. The road teams have the edge in this playoff by a pretty decent margin. Barry thought that, and I thought, Bill, the buildings are electric and wired. And Barry thought maybe that's backfiring, that you are trying so hard to put a show on now for your home ice fans that the road team actually plays a smarter game. I mean, what do you buy into? What do you think?
Well, I'm not dismissing that argument, Gord, but I think now in the National Hockey League, the players, the expectation is that you can play as well on the road as you can at home, and which is why not? I mean, you're both playing on the same ice surface. Yes, you got a bunch of fans cheering for the home team, but why can't you go out there and execute the type of game plan that you need in order to win? And I really believe it's the culture of the National Hockey League now that teams are looking at it that way, is why can't we can go in and play Montreal Figures, we can go into Pittsburgh and play as well as we can, as we did at the Bell Center. Why not? I mean, I think the culture has changed in the National Hockey League. Fortunately for the Bruins, I mean, they're going into Game 7 tonight. They've been the most successful team at home in the playoffs, so that might serve them well. That seems to be same with Philadelphia, has played well at home themselves. But I just think it's that, Gord, it's the culture of the game now has changed, and players are so well conditioned, and it's that, and they look at it that they can play as well on the road as they do at home. So that takes away the home ice advantage, because a lot of this is mental. It's a mental part of the game, and if you think you got just as good a chance to win on the road as home, that's half the battle.
Chatting with Larry Murphy on the Fan 590. And Larry, look at the Toronto contingent in Montreal. Mike Camilleri, Glenn Metropolitan, or Toronto area, Dominic Moore, a few others that way. Got four or five guys from here. I'm curious, you are a local guy, experienced the best of times and the worst of times. And what would you say to a local guy about playing in Toronto?
Well, I just, it comes to playing in a city like Toronto and like Montreal, comes in this a large amount of pressure, and of course, being a local guy, that's just might add that much more. I'm not a lot, but of course, that reference is going to be made the whole time that you're playing for the team. It's just you just go forward, and you got to have a thick skin. When the team's not going well, you're gonna hear it, the wrath, especially now with the way the media is set up, and the likes of the Fan 590 fans have a way to vent their frustration, and it becomes much more public how dismayed everybody is with the lack of success. So I just do what you do well. I mean, you just go to the rink and just focus on what goes on the ice, and you just have to have a thick skin. It's a great experience, boy. I'd love to have won in Toronto. I'm being a Leaf fan my whole life. I mean, I'm well aware of 67. So I mean, I looked at it as an opportunity. Of course, it never worked out that well for me, but boy, what an exciting thing it would be to win in your hometown. But that's just approach it, play the best you can. That's all you can do.
What's he talking about there, Gord? I don't understand. What is he referring to there exactly? We're talking, of course, to Larry Murphy, NHL Network analyst. Willie Mitchell speaking out yesterday. I want to play this clip for you. You may have already heard it. It's Willie Mitchell of the Vancouver Canucks talking about NHL discipline.
I'm not happy with the hit I took. You know, we're taught from a young age that you don't hit from behind. And I had my numbers facing a player in a dangerous zone and dangerous spot, and he hit me. And more than that, I'm disappointed in the league, disappointed in Colin Campbell, disappointed that he didn't rule down anything on the play. That's his job.
Yeah, you know, and he goes on to say that, you know, maybe, you know, with personal relationships that Colin has, that anyone would have, really, I think. His comments about Colin Campbell may have been more personal, or they may have been just generally speaking that, you know, somebody who has relationships with general managers and that kind of thing that go way back, that maybe he's not the best guy to hand out punishment in these situations. What do you make of that?
Well, there's issues. Some suspensions I take issue with Colin Campbell, but I think generally he does a strong job. It's just the concern with me now is more so than the suspensions that are handed out. It's now that the players' approach is players go in now with a false sense of security that when they do have their back to the player and they're facing the boards, that no one's going to touch them. And that might hold up 90% of the time, but there's one time where a guy comes through a little over-anxious and he ends up plowing the guy over. And it's just, guys, the game used to be played where you expected, when you had your back to anybody, you expected to be hit and you had to position yourself accordingly to try to absorb that. Now, I just don't see guys doing that as much as before. Now, I don't think Colin Campbell can go out and stop guys from getting hurt. It's just this game is now it's such a big business. The pressure's sky high. Guys are fired up, wired up. These things are going to happen. I don't think Campbell can stop it himself. And hockey's inherently a dangerous sport. I mean, the last thing we want to do to this game is make it so that no one hits anybody, so that no one will get hurt. That's not going to happen. So I feel for William Mitchell, I mean, it's horrible. I hated what happened to him, but for the most part, I think the league's pretty good in that area of suspensions. I have no problem with Campbell.
You know what, Larry? Both Gord and I have talked about it from time to time and how unfair it was here in Toronto for you. So, wait, you know, let's do something about that, Gord.
No.
Let's start the slow clap.
How about the slow clap? There we go.
And then it builds. Now, I don't know if that helps or does anything for you, but, you know, our two cents.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. I mean, you have no idea how great I feel now.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, just
turn my life around.
That's right. No, four cup championships, Hockey Hall of Fame. Wasn't quite doing it. The slow clap from Landry and Stelic. Now everything's fine. Larry, this has been great. Thanks a lot. Well, if you don't mind, we'd like to do it again soon.
Oh, for sure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Larry Murphy of the NHL Network.